Oh, the trip went extremely well. The team competed at a very high level. Even our intermediate shooters and beginners shot super, super well. I mean, we didn't travel with a full team. Nobody did. The event was probably a third or a half smaller than what it was last year as far as people went. But no, all in all, it was a very positive experience for all the kids and families involved. And it was the only first real, you know, kind of activity that most of these kids have had since March. And it was an incredibly positive and fun experience for everyone involved until we got home, of course.
Had they been training for it for a while?
Yeah, we have a fall season and a spring season, and the fall season is somewhat truncated by, you know, daylight and weather and other activities. We had a pretty short season. You had 10, 12 practices, and then we culminated in this fall event, which is regions for the state.
Okay.
And we had there wasn't a lot of competition in the junior varsity, but we swept that. My son Jonas got first place in all four events and first place overall. Caden Kerwin got first place overall as an intermediate, and then he and Marcus Anderson, my other son, split various events. So all in all, they did extremely well. It was, like I said, it was a really good experience for everybody. And I want to highlight that, you know, this is a sanctioned event, and as a sanctioned event, we had to follow all of the state and local recommendations for COVID stuff. We had to submit a plan, which we did. We fully traveled the way and stayed potted like we were supposed to. I went up with Larry O'Rear with one group, which was my two sons and another boy. And we traveled separately, and we didn't sit together on the airplanes. We had two separate rental cars, two separate hotel rooms, and we didn't even eat together. I mean, everybody stayed separate. At the event, the clubhouse was closed. There was lots of hand sanitizer and masks for everybody. Each team had its own tent that it could use separate from everybody else. And it was so cold. It was 22 degrees the first morning, and I think it was 27 the next morning, that there was no standing around and talking. People, they got us in there, they got us started, we shot, and then we went home. So there was not a lot of loitering or talking or chit-chatting going on. And everybody stayed largely to themselves, and, you know, hand sanitizer, all protocols were followed. But I really want to give a shout-out to Tanya Keenis. She did the team a very big solid favor and supplied us with a very large amount of sanitation wipes that we used profusely through this entire process. And we wiped down car handles, doorknobs, everything we touched, everything we encountered before we touched it, we wiped it down.
Okay. I take it from our talks that you believe that it's really out in the community that this travel to Juneau is being blamed for the case in the elementary school, even though the EOC did not specifically name that team or travel in the release they put out.
Well, it wasn't the EOC's release that was really troubling to me. I mean, it's all part of the same picture. So when you name a particular teacher's classroom and you name a particular event that this was linked to, which is what was said, you know, it was off our non-sanctioned school travel in Juneau. Everybody knows it was the Devil's Thumb Shooters that went. By naming the actual teacher's class and the grade that was in there, people would deduce exactly who the child was that tested positive, and also the parent and everything else. And, you know, people have largely been unkind to me and to other people. And one of my sons was being harassed, you know, rather jokingly by his peers when we were on Ring Central for school the next day. And, you know, thanks a lot for shutting down the school. And that's permeated across social media. Some people jokingly, some people not. Some kids are being blamed for ruining trick-or-treating for the entire fifth grade class. And all this is done because of, you know, some loose lips that happened. And I was told, and my wife was told, and both of my sons were told that they were on the close contact list and couldn't come back to school or work for 14 days. They were told this roughly around 10 a.m. in the morning. But the problem with that is we were not even contacted by public health till 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So the question I have is, you know, how did the school and other people, why did they have access to this information before we did? And come to find out, because we did follow the protocols that were published for this event, and we followed all protocols going forward, nobody in my family or in my group even, that I coached and kept separate, were even close contacts as ruled by public health. So my point is, if for everybody in the community who's going to listen to this, is the protocols worked. We followed the safety protocols, and instead of pointing out that this was an immensely positive event for these kids, and that we followed all protocols and nothing terrible happened, instead, they're getting hung up on the fact that one child tested positive, which may or may not be related to the travel that we did. But the other note is, the positive side is that everybody that was on that trip with that child has been tested, and all of us came up negative. So I don't know what to say, except that, you know, clearly we did what we were supposed to do. We traveled like we were supposed to do under the rules that were in place, and we actually exceeded those rules very often in what we were doing. And this is what happened.